Right, don't laugh at me. And welcome to the Jumbo Braille program on this beautiful Thursday night. Don't laugh at me. Welcome to the Jumbo Braille program. This is Six Eyes Radio Network. I am Six Dot, and want to welcome Ghost Dot. Welcome.
Right now she's not here, but this is Big Dot with you there. Six, how you doing tonight?
All right, Big Dot, how you doing?
Doing great, doing awesome. Looking for a great show tonight. How you doing?
I'm doing great, brother. Got my coffee here. Checked on the family. Everybody's doing good. We're here. We're blessed. We made the woke list. And everything's good, man. So I just want to welcome everybody to the Jumbo Braille program tonight. And if you're just first listening, the Jumbo Braille program was the brainchild of Ken Wolfgang, which is Big Dot. And it's a great show to where we highlight each other's gifts and not
Amen.
Our challenges. So the whole purpose of the show is to talk about our strengths and not our weaknesses, how we overcame our weaknesses and still persevered, you know, through any kind of challenges that's going on, be it mobility, be it, you know, visual impairment, whatever. As long as you're moving, you're still in the game. So keep going, keep moving, no matter how you do it. So that's what it's all about on this December 9th, 2021. Please make sure you check on the elderly. Make sure that they're safe, make sure that their doors are being locked, because unfortunately we're having these break-ins to where we're taking advantage of. So please, if you can, afford a security camera, get one for your loved ones, okay, and link it to your phone, and that way when you're not there at the home, you can check and see what's going on, because we had an unfortunate event here in Euclid where a 17-year-old broke in and sexually assaulted a 81-year-old woman and beat her up real bad. So we just want to say prayers and speedy recovery for her, and just praying for mankind, everyone in general. But that's something that should be done. If you can afford it, get a camera to where you can check in on your loved ones. And please, it's getting cold outside, so if you are utilizing space heaters, please make sure you try to get the latest heater with the shed-off safety mechanism in it, and do not drape anything over it. Don't drape any blankets, any covers over the portable heaters, because we don't want nobody burning up. And have your furnace checked by a proper technician, not your neighbor, friend, who think he or she knows what they're doing, but have by a proper technician. All right, that's our safety tips for tonight. And I want to welcome everybody around the city and states and faraway countries. Welcome one, welcome all, and happy holidays on the 6 Eyes Radio Network. Now, during the course of the show, we are going to play some Christmas music, being this is the holiday season. So who do we have with us tonight?
We have God the Father, Son, Holy Ghost, Band of Angels. We've got Kenny. We have some mystery guests. Then we have Emily's dad. We have you six, and me on Kenny's cell, and whoever this other mystery guest is.
All right, well, we want to say hello to the mystery guest. If you all want to unmask and tell us who you are, just press the one, say hello, and we welcome you to the 6 Eyes Radio Network, and happy holidays. Emily's father, hello, sir. Emily, hello. And we're going to have a great show.
Hey, six, speaking of coffee, guess what just recently happened to my cup of coffee?
What did you do, spill it?
No, a bug decided he wanted to drink some coffee, too.
Oh, you know what, Ken? I'm glad you shared your coffee, you know, with the bug. Now, here's the question. Are you going to be adventurous and finish that cup of coffee, or are you going to pour it out and get a new cup?
I'm going to get a new cup. I'm not much for sharing coffee that a bug shared.
Are you sure? Okay, okay.
Not that adventurous.
Well, tonight we're going to have just a popcorn-style conversation on life hacks. You know, us being, you know, visually challenged, you know, life hacks. You know, how do you get around and navigate the world on a daily basis? I'm going to give a couple of my that I use, and, you know, we go around the table and learn from each other, because that's what it's all about. So I got guests that's supposed to be joining. So when they decide to get here, they know to press the one to join the conversation. And before we get started,
hello,
I want to give out send condolences to the.
Because they got a 407 number. I think she is going to talk.
Okay, was I just speaking? I don't know if I was just speaking. I think I was just speaking. So let me finish, please. So I want to send out condolences to the Cannon family. Nick Cannon lost his 5-month-old son. So we definitely want to say condolences to the Cannon family, praying for him. The Lark family, they lost their father. So definitely praying for strength and comfort for her family at this difficult time. And let's go on with the show.
All right.
Amen.
I did hear her.
Hello. Welcome to the show.
Can you guys hear me?
Is that live?
Yep,
hello?
I can hear you fine.
Yes, been here since the beginning of the show, just waiting to know when to speak.
All right. You got the floor. Welcome.
Hi, everyone. Hi, Six. Hi, Big God, and hi, everybody else that's engaged in the show at this moment. I am the Life Tutor, and I guide people through life's lessons. Very happy to be here and be a part of the discussion, and hope that I can add value to the conversation. Thank you. And I am complete.
All right. Did we have anybody else? We got some mystery callers. Mystery callers, who are you? Are you an elf? Are you Santa Claus?
Yeah, that was
when you're
at 904.
904. I'm not familiar with that. 904. Press the 1. Who are you? Everything is going to be okay. 904 going once. 904 going twice. Who are you? Okay.
All right.
Well, hello,
six,
904, whoever you are.
Let me give the first topic for everybody to consider, okay? Here's a good question to ask you, okay? Say you had a blind child, okay? Totally blind from birth. Would you mainstream that child, meaning put them in classes with sighted peers, or would you put them through residential school from kindergarten through high school?
Well, let me answer that question. If I had children, I would want them to have the best opportunity in the world, so I would put them in a school that's going to teach them everything they need to know before they get out into the real world, so they'll already be acclimated and will have the teachings that's needed, because I would feel it's a little bit more one-on-one and it's not so much pressure, and they can learn. And then once they get done with the schooling, they can, you know, venture out to society with confidence. So that's what I would do if little Junior was running around.
Okay. Well, see, there's a controversy, Six, that goes on. Okay. They say that putting a blind student in mainstream classes makes it more difficult for them because they don't have the specialized training and teaching.
Now, when you say, okay, well, maybe I misunderstood you, because when you said mainstream, I was thinking of a blind school. That's what I was talking about.
No. That's the residential school. That's the residential school. And that's where you got the specialized teachers and the specialized equipment, et cetera. But there is where the other controversy lies. Mainstream people say that putting a blind child in a residential school from K through 12 isolates them from peers that are sighted.
Well, I mean, it's a temporary isolation. I mean, hit me on again. So my Junior is going to go to a residential school, right?
Yeah, well, like I said, which would you do? This is your opinion. What would you do?
So if Junior's running around, of course he's going to look nice because his dad looks nice. He's going to go to the school where he's taught one-on-one. So that would be the residential school, correct?
That's where you'd want him to go, one-on-one with the specialized teachers and equipment.
That's right. Yeah, that's what you'd
Okay, any other takers want to try to answer that question?
Well, this is my tutor. For me, I would say I would put the child in a residential school from pre-K all the way up to middle school. And once they were pretty strong in their talents as a blind child, then I would trade them over to a mainstreaming school, because I would like to prepare them for the real world. The real world is rough and tough, and it's mostly sighted. So I need them to have their capabilities, such as learning Braille and knowing how to use blind devices and just being strong as a blind individual, and have some type of autonomy away from the blind world and feel confident in being a blind person by being with their peers. But then I would need them to also be mainstream, because after they do graduate from high school, they're not going to always be in large groups of blind people. So they need to be acclimated for, per se, the real world. And the world can be cruel. High school students can be cruel. People can be cruel. And I need that daughter or that son to be tough enough to be able to acclimate themselves to the rest of the world, because it is the rest of the world that they will live the rest of their life in. this is Life Jupiter, and I am complete.
Yeah. Well, I kind of have to go with that second opinion right there, because having both is, I think, a good way to go, okay, my own opinion, okay, because myself having had, actually, I've been experienced with all three types. The classroom model, which is a sight-setting class in a in the mainstreamed school, then the mainstream classes with the resource room where I would go get my blind materials, but with mainstream students and sighted students, and then also the blind school model, which was the residential school. I've experienced all three types of education for those that are blind, and I found advantages in all three. So if I had my choice and I had a child, I would say yes. I would, especially if they're blind from birth, get them into that residential school for their younger age, get them the special one-on-one that they're going to need to get them used to what they need to do and get their education started off right. And then once they're well acclimated and knowing what they're doing, then get them into that mainstream where they can be alongside their peers that are sighted and have that chance to thrive with the sighted.
Well, let me jump in here, and I hear you. I hear you. And like I said, Junior will eventually go. I mean, now Junior's going to get all the best education that he can get, because even I my little niece is in high school, and God forbid, she can see. So she can see. And she still had challenges with people disrupting the class, you know. So let alone being blind, and you got ignorant people, you got bullying, you know. That, you know, it's already a challenge already. So let alone you got some ignorant students who haven't matured yet. They want to take their stuff, hide it, you know, and just do cruel stuff. Now this is what they're going to have to deal with in the real world. But hopefully in the school for the blind, where they're going to get the training, they can have skill sets on, okay, if the bully approaches, you know, how do you handle a bully? You know, what can you do? You know, stuff like that, you know, because they're not going to have time to stop the curriculum in a regular school for that. So I'm talking about when Junior starts off going through school, from K all the way up to high school, okay? And then Junior will have the option to transfer over to high school if he feels like he wants to do that. Whatever he does, I'm going to support him, but I want Junior to have the best. So that's why Junior will be in an isolated school structure learning the best he can learn. I'm complete.
Yep, and that's what we're talking about, and I think that's the best way to go because, yeah, when you're in that residential school, they do from the model that when I went to the blind school, okay, they did teach you that kind of stuff, and even in the blind school, you get your bullies there too, and so you learn pretty quick how to handle it, and you get your counselors that help you to learn how to handle that, so.
So let me,
there's that help.
So let me ask you, is there a memory you can remember where you may have got bullied, and how did you handle it? Let's go back to when Ken was a teenager. Let's go back. Take us back to a situation.
Okay, well, like I said, actually the bullies that I had to deal with were when I was in mainstream classes, okay? And doing so, I had to learn the hard way how to handle them. Okay, and basically because I was always the kind of dude that had a kind of attitude myself, I had this attitude, you bully me, you didn't get a chance to bully me the second time because I was ready to put my fist in your teeth and take your teeth so far down your throat, you'd have a chance to chew your breakfast twice, okay? So, I mean, they learned pretty quick, you don't go bullying Ken twice. So... legally blind or not, Ken was going to defend himself. And so the bullies learned pretty quick that Ken wasn't somebody you mess with very much. But, yeah, there were guys that wanted to pull the stuff like you're talking about, hiding stuff from me to pick on me from the sight advantage, like, you're blind, I want to fix you good, you won't be able to find this, you won't be able to find that because you're blind, the neener blind jokes. And to me, I was like, well, you're the one who's acting like a child, not me. So I learned to say, okay, well, when you're acting like that, it only shows what kind of person you really are. And I learned that, look, getting mad was what they wanted me to do. So instead, that's where I got my sense of humor, was because I learned to laugh instead of getting mad at them. Like if they come to school with a butch haircut and they go, look who got in fight with a lawnmower. I'd say, yeah, and you could see who won. So instead of getting mad, I'd fall opposite of what they wanted, and they'd end up being the one who got mad because they couldn't make me mad.
Okay.
So,
all right, anybody
and
else?
Then,
Go ahead.
Can you guys hear me?
Yeah, we can
hear you. Go ahead.
For me, I feel like the reason that I wouldn't want my child to be totally isolated in the blind world, because it shelters the child. They're in the bubble, and they cannot live permanently in that bubble. The greater majority of the world is sighted, and they have to go out in that world if they're going to be a productive citizen in society, to jobs, to go to higher education, to just be a civilized person with other people. And a lot of times when you center yourself to just one group of people, you feel comfortable. So you don't necessarily thrive to do better. You just are just equal to your peers as opposed to trying to rise above them, not in a bad way, but just to do better. Also, there are things that I notice, such as what are commonly called blind isms. Blind isms are when people that are born blind, that are only around the blind, they don't notice that they're doing certain things that if they were sighted, they would not do in public, such as rocking and or doing just something simple as, you know, all due respect, picking your nose. Because if everyone's blind, no one knows you're picking your nose. But if you're sighted, people can see this. So if you're around other people that are different from yourself, then you're going to, in a certain degree, change certain etiquette that you have. You're also going to learn about how to handle bullying. I believe there's bullying in residential schools, but it's on an equal playing field because everybody's blind. But it's on a whole new level when you're in a sighted school because it's a different type of bullying. And I feel if you're tough enough to handle that, you can handle the real world, because when you get in the real world, a police officer is not going to be always there to protect you. So as the Big Dot was saying, he learned to handle bullying with humor, and that's a good thing. I think that's a really good thing, and he probably won a lot of people over, especially the girls. You know, a lady likes a man that can make her laugh. So I really like the fact of mainstreaming, but not from birth, but just giving your child the best of both worlds. And I also feel like there's certain things you just can't learn in a blind school, i.e., you know, colors and things like that. You know, visual people, sighted people are very visual. So even though that blind person never can actually see the color blue or green, they can experience it through the eyes of maybe a sighted person. You know, I remember someone asking me one day, they were like, well, I've never seen blue or I've never seen green. Explain it to me. And I remember trying to explain different things that were green or blue, or having them touch things that were green or blue so they can get the sensation, because truly they saw it differently than I did at the time. So that's my two cents on that until I chime in again. This is Life Tutor.
All right. Okay. If there's anybody else that's on the phone line, press the 1. Let us know what you think. Is there a 1?
All right. And while they're doing that, I'm going to ask another question. It's basically the same question, but in a little different way. Now, say you had Junior or little Susie, mm-hmm. and instead mm-hmm. of them being totally blind, rather they're legally blind. They have, like, say, 20/200. So they have some vision. They have some vision that's useful to them.
Mm-hmm.
Would you mainstream them, or would you put them through a residential school?
No, I'm gonna. I mean, if they have some sight, if they've had some sight, and they've lived with me, I'm gonna do my best to do what the teachers would do, because there's the internet, and I'm gonna get the resources that I can to have Junior or Shalimar, if that's my little girl, Shalimar. I'll have her already knowing, and she'll have reinforcement from home structure resources that I will get, and I will put her or Junior in regular school, because she has some sight, he has some sight, and that way I'm a little bit more confident knowing that he or she can handle themselves, but with the reinforcement of the curriculum that I seek out. The resources that they can have a fighting chance. So, yes. But they got to have some vision. I'm not just going to throw them out there in the water.
All right. And what do you think, lady?
I think she might have stepped away.
Okay.
Well,
let me tell you what I think, Six, okay? Now, because obviously this comes from me. I was legally blind, okay? And to me, as long as they have, like, a resource room to go to or something like that, to where they could get the equipment, the specialized large print books, et cetera, I would, in every case, every single case, especially if the student is doing well, I would mainstream.
Yeah.
As long as they got
different.
All the equipment they need.
Yeah.
And then the only time that I would send anything specialized to them would be like a mobility instructor, get them a mobility instructor to come to the school to teach them their mobility skills, that kind of thing, so they'd have that early on. But I would mainstream them.
Right. And I agree with you there, because, again, they have some sight. He or she has some sight. So, therefore, I'm a little bit more confident with Junior or Shalimar going to school. You know, that's the difference. But, again, they got to have those resources there. That's the only way. And, you know, we have this app called Clubhouse. Now, I know you know about Facebook. But there's this app called Clubhouse, which is an auditorial app, okay? And the only difference that separates the sighted from the unsighted is there's a picture that you can put up. But other than that, everybody's equal. You know, as long as you're on that app, you're equal. All you hear is the voice. And outside of having a picture up, you would never know. You know, and that's a good app. It's a social media app. And one thing about this COVID, it's brought a whole diverse group of people together that you wouldn't normally meet. I mean, it's people all over the world, New Zealand, South Africa. It's people from all countries, you know. And it's a cool place to be. And talk about, you know, people being in their own little corner of the world, you know, far as race goes. I mean, the good thing about this app, it's forced us to have a conversation that we should have had long ago, because before this, it was a lot of learned behaviors that never, you know, was changed. Oh, well, you shouldn't talk to this person because of this, because of that. And one thing about this Clubhouse app, and I'm not getting paid for this, but I have a good experience on the app. So I would say that it's a good tool to have, because it breaks the stereotypes and learned behaviors that black and white once thought, you know. everybody is getting along, you know, and that's a good thing. So that's one good thing that came out of this pandemic. And speaking of the pandemic, we're dealing with the Omicron variant right now. So please make sure that you're washing your hands properly, practicing social distancing, and wearing your mask. Wiping your house down, your common areas with bleach, Lysol, or Microban. You know, and just be safe from the 6 Eyes Radio Network. Now back to our show.
All right. So, but now, here go, Six. Here's one for you. Now, you've worked with a cane, okay? You've never had to use a dog guide, okay? That's the proper nomenclature when you don't know the school from which the dog graduated, okay?
Okay.
Okay. But now here's the kicker. You got to remember, a dog has two eyes, okay? And he could see things that are around you, and he could see the traffic, and he's trained to look out for the traffic and that kind of thing. So the big controversy is, now there are some that say, well, you should only use a cane because you got to have that skill. What if the dog ever gets sick, okay? You don't want to lose your cane skill. So here's the big kicker. Now, you're talking to a three-time user of dog guides, okay? Which do you think you would use had you had the choice?
My choice is a guide dog and what else?
Between dog guide or cane.
Well, both. I mean, I like both. I mean, but my biggest fear with the dog, I don't want nobody trying to hurt my dog. I can't see what's going on, and I don't want nobody to be stupid and give my dog something to make him sick, him or her sick, because I won't be able to see it, and I'll have to live with that forever, knowing that my dog got sick on my watch. So from that respect, I'll take a cane. And we're not in a perfect world, but if I could know that dog will be able to navigate and get around the city comfortably, you know, not getting pet unnecessarily, and nobody's trying to give him no poison, then I will take the dog, you know, because that way the dog is having fun and, you know, nobody's trying to make him sick, because you got some people that do cruel stuff to animals. So that would be my only fear of getting a dog, you know, having it get sick on my watch. That part I don't like.
Well, that point six, here's the good thing, okay? You're trained at the school to watch certain behaviors in your dog, okay? You'll know if somebody's trying something, because you'll be able to feel it in the behavior of your dog, okay? You'll know. So you know if someone's getting ready to hand your dog something or do something to your dog, because your dog is going to give you certain gestures, and you'll know, and then you'll be able to stop it before it happens, okay?
Okay.
Now,
okay.
Just like if they leave something on the sidewalk and the dog is trying to go for it, you'll know, and you'll be able to stop the dog with a simple command from picking stuff all off the ground. So you're trained to do that. So that really, even though that's a legitimate, very legitimate, and I'll agree with you, is very legitimate, but yet at the same time, they've already thought about that. The biggest fear you should have as a person looking for a mobility aid such as a dog guide is, do you have a place? If you don't have a fenced-in yard, do you know of like a ball field that is fenced in, that is secure, where you could let the dog, where they'd allow you to let your dog run to get exercise? Because dog guides need free time just as much as they need work time. Okay, they need a balance. Okay.
Yeah, they got a whole acre to run around, so they'll be cool with that.
Okay, you also have to have found a spot outside your apartment that's very handy where you could park the dog. Now, for those listeners who don't understand what I'm talking about, parking the dog, I'll just simplify it for you. Spell the word park backwards.
Mm-hmm.
That simplifies it. Okay?
No,
that simplifies it. Okay, that simplifies it and makes it very easy that the little kiddies aren't going to be offended, okay? Spell the word park backwards, okay? But that's, you got to make sure you have a place nearby where you're living that you could take your dog out for a park. And then, of course, you got to know where you're going to take your dog for his health care. Okay? Finding a good vet before you actually embark on getting a dog guide. Already researching vet.
Hold on, some dogs came. Hold on. Just had some dogs barking.
Ah, we got a emergency alert.
Red alert, so please be careful. Please be careful. What's going on? All right.
So.
Yeah.
But that's something to consider because before you even consider a dog, you got to consider all mm-hmm. those things. Those are the responsibility of you, the dog handler. Now, there are responsibilities that you as a dog handler, after you've gotten your dog, you got responsibilities. You got to clean up after your dog, okay? You got to mm-hmm. make sure he's well groomed every day. You got to make mm-hmm. sure your dog is kept quiet, that kind of thing. That's
now, how
why
do you keep quiet? I mean, they
usually if they most dog guides are already trained to be quiet, but if they start to bark, you got to give them the appropriate command. Okay, now when you're at a store and if your dog is doing everything it's supposed to and it's under good control, et cetera, and they try to tell you because they have a fear of dogs or they don't like dogs or whatever, and they tell you that dog can't come in here, you have the right to bring that dog in there as long as that dog is doing its job, okay? As long mm-hmm. as you're upholding your responsibilities, that dog, as a service dog, has a right to be there. So a church, a store, a taxi cab company, motel, hotel, whatever, they cannot refuse you just because they don't like dogs or whatever. However, on the other hand, if you do not keep your dog under control, and the dog is running around, making noise, making a nuisance of itself, whatever, is not well-groomed, shedding, whatever, they have the right to tell you that the dog has been banned, but you as a shopper are not banned.
Uh-huh. Well,
and that you have to come in there.
You're going to lose a customer unless you get somebody, a sighted guide, to come in there and help you shop.
Right.
You might lose that customer.
Right. So, but my point being, see, when you have a dog guide, you have responsibilities. Unlike a cane, now we go to the cane travel aspect. Unlike a cane, first off, you don't have non-existent vet bills, okay?
mm-hmm.
Isn't that a blessing? Okay.
Yeah.
Now, some dog guides, some vets, if you got a service dog, they will not charge you a vet fee. Okay. And I was blessed with a veterinarian that did not charge me one red cent for vet bills. Okay. Because of the dog mm-hmm. being a service dog. Okay. So all medications, all vet visits, everything were free. Okay. So what
cool.
I'm saying is, but there are some vets that will do that for you. Well, you don't have to worry about taking your cane out at 3 a.m. to go park.
Mm-hmm.
You got the availability
cool.
of collapse. You got the availability of collapsibility
mm-hmm.
with a cane. Also, with a cane, you don't have to sit there and groom it every day. With a cane, you don't have to sit there and worry about issues such as making sure it doesn't bark when it's in a store. So there's the big difference. But the two big differences between a cane and a dog is this, Six. First off, and I've said this more times than not, I've never fell in love with a cane.
Right.
And number two, a cane can't love you back.
That's true. But the good thing about not having a dog, you don't get attached to it, because if anything happens to my dog, I'm going to feel real bad. And then I hear if the dog gets stressed, he's not able to guide anyway. Now, I do have a question, and this is okay. So let's say I had a dog, okay, and I don't, but let's say I did have a dog, okay, and Fido sees this hot chick dog. Is Fido going to be able to stay focused? I mean, because he's a man. I mean, if he sees a dog and he, you know what I'm saying? Because, you know, dogs, you know, you've seen dogs play before. So if Fido's walking, taking me to the store, and he sees this hot chick dog across the street, is he going to dart out and try to run after her? You know, has there ever been cases like that that you know of?
Okay. Okay. There's, once again, where the dog guide is different, totally different from your average dog. They are trained to not be distracted like your average dog. They're trained to keep their mind focused on the job at hand versus your average pet. Now, your average pet dog would go after any other dog that they'd see. While the dog guide, you would use the term no straight leave it. Okay? And when they don't, you correct them. That is, so you got more control, okay?
Mm-hmm.
You got commands that you could teach, use for the dog to get them to stay focused on their job. Now, with, like what we're saying here, there, yes, you have those issues with your dog, okay? Unlike a cane, you don't have to worry about it being distracted.
Mm-hmm.
Those are real legitimate issues. But the advantage – but one thing that a cane can't do, which is more difficult, is in the middle of winter when you got 6 inches of snow on the ground, okay?
Mm-hmm.
You have that difficulty of finding the sidewalk and keeping on it. While the dog, when they've been familiarized with a route, they're going to know exactly where that sidewalk is and keep you on it even though there's snow there.
Yeah. Now, that's cool. But like I said, I just didn't want to, you know, say I got a dog and we're going to the store and he sees that chicken darts across the street. No, Fido, no.
That's where you be observant to your dog's actions, and when they start turning their head, you already know they're starting to be distracted, and you can say no, straight, and you could stop them. So
now,
that's part of their training.
Is that command normal or stern voice?
When you're giving a command, like a correction type command, when you're saying no, you don't say it, no, okay? No, you say no.
No, like that, no.
No, you mean business now.
No.
Okay? You give the voice that means I mean business now. I want you to obey now. While when
no,
you give praise,
no.
Remember – you got to remember, Six, with a dog guide, there is a balance. if you're going to give corrections, you also got to give praise when the dog is doing well. And that is used with a happier, joyful sound in your voice. Good boy.
All right.
You see?
All right. Now, what are we going to do?
Now, just wondering, does this same training work for husbands? Just kidding.
Unfortunately, I've already asked the different schools where I've had dog guides from. I asked them, did they have obedience training for spouses? They said no, not at this time.
Okay, just
man,
so
that,
sure.
That'd be cool. What we're going to do is kind of shift gears. We're going to play a Christmas song. Phone lines are open at 424-243-9617, 424-243-9617. Press the 1 to join the conversation. I want to thank those who are on the phone lines. Press the 1. Don't be shy. It's just radio. We're going to play some music, and then we're going to come back with a controversy that's going on here in the schools. And when I tell you the story, I want to get your take on it. We'll be right back. This is the Six Eyes Radio Network. We will be right back. Jumbo Braille Program. We'll be right back.
Great song, Zex.
Thank you.
This Christmas, and as we trim the tree, how much fun it's going to be together. This Christmas, the fireside is blazing bright. We're caroling through the night, and this Christmas will be very special Christmas from me. Presents and cards are here, my world is filled with cheer and this Christmas, and as I look around, your eyes are shining down at me. This Christmas, fireside blazing bright, we're caroling through the night, and this Christmas
I did not hear my Christmas song playing.
This was
all right. Who was the genius that was talking through the song? Hello? Okay, is everybody, hello?
was Ruthie's phone was on. She didn't mute herself.
I'm sorry. I didn't know how to do it. It's not my phone, so I'm not used to that.
All right, no worries. Okay, so that was Merry Christmas, This Christmas by Donny Hathaway. All right. Now, this next story. Okay, I'll wait.
I don't know how to mute it. How do you mute it? All right.
Stand by, people. Live radio.
All right, Six, now you were going to say?
All right. Okay, so the kids have not got out for holiday break yet. So in Lorain, there was a situation where a 11-year-old was forced to eat food out the garbage can. Now, this is a middle school in Lorain, Ohio. And what happened, they were eating breakfast. The little girl didn't like her waffle, so she threw the waffle away. Okay? Now, this is not a prank where the kids are daring the child or being cruel. This is an administrator who made the girl go in the trash, get the waffles out, and told her to eat the waffles. The lady went and took the food out the garbage can and told the girl to eat the food. Now, since then, the girl has gotten sick, and she's traumatized by this. I want to know your thoughts. I mean, that's the most ridiculous thing I've ever heard. What are your thoughts?
My thoughts, Six, if it was me and I was around, I'd make that administrator go and eat out of the trash can, see what they think of their own medicine.
Yeah, that's ridiculous.
See how they like eating out of a trash can.
You know how embarrassing that is? And you're an administrator. This ain't like no kids playing a prank, you know, or being kids. This is an administrator at the school that did this. The little girl didn't want a waffle, so she threw the waffle away. The lady went and got the waffle and made her eat it.
Can you guys hear me?
Yes, we can.
Yep.
First of all, I would prosecute her to the greatest extent of the law that I could. She would also lose her license, and I would do everything to publicly embarrass this person because she does not need to be anywhere near children. Just the fact that not only the child had to go through the trauma, but that the child got sick on top of that, that is totally disgusting. I can't believe, when I was listening to the story, I thought that you were going to say that this was like some type of bullying or something like that. This is a grown adult having a child do this. What care or concern could this administrator possibly have for a child? She should never be allowed to be any type of administrator or in any school or around any children, and if she has any children, they should be taken away from her, and she should lose her license, and she should be prosecuted and put in jail and shamed publicly on the Internet. I mean, I am just so passionate about people who hurt children, elderly people, and disabled people. How disgusting is this woman? And that's my thoughts on that.
Yeah, I mean, it's ridiculous. I mean, you know, I pray she don't have any kids. And from the Six Eyes Radio Network, we're praying, young lady, for a speedy recovery for you. I mean, something out the garbage can, something that you discarded. We already dealing with this variant of this coronavirus, this new Omicron virus. We're already dealing with that. And to dig in the trash and make this girl eat this food is ridiculous. So praying for a speedy recovery for you, young lady. Anybody else's thoughts? Ruthie, your thoughts. Ken, oh, Ken, you already said your thoughts. Anybody else on the line want to chime in?
No, it's just us six.
Okay.
Yeah, Ruth wants to say
that's
something.
That's terrible. Okay.
You know, I would actually want to prosecute somebody like that because I would say that's disgusting, like you did, Six.
Yeah, it's crazy. It's crazy. You know how many lunches I threw away in school that I didn't want? And nobody...
I bet a lot.
I mean, that's just... Yeah, that's ridiculous.
Yeah, we had some burned lunches, but I still ate them, and I thank God for it. But this is disgusting. If somebody would be eating garbage. I mean, that is disgusting. Just like that Sybil book, that lady was forced to be stuck in a house, and they wouldn't let her out. I mean, that's even worse for anybody.
Mm-hmm. Yeah, you can look it up on you can look it up. You can look it up for your local news. They just aired this today. And then there's a Scrooge in New York who burnt a Christmas tree. He doesn't like Christmas, so he set a Christmas tree ablaze in front of a TV station. And oddly enough, Ken, it was News 8 in New York. So, yeah, just definitely, you know, if you want to be a Scrooge, be a Scrooge on your own time and let people enjoy the holiday season. I mean, it's enough that's going through to have some cheer, you know. Don't you be a Scrooge just because you're not happy. So we're having a great show. All right. Anybody else? Let's shift gears. Let's talk about some life hacks. Let's talk about some life hacks as far as cleaning and things of such. Now, I'll let the lady go first. Life tutor or Ruthie. One of you go first with your life hacks, and then Ken and I will chime in with ours.
In respect to what, Six, could you kind of start us off to give us an understanding on what you're looking for?
Okay, yeah. So in every day, you know, we get up, we clean our houses, you know. What are some tricks that you've learned over the years that can make it easier for someone who may be visually impaired, partially or totally? What kind of tips can you give him or her? Something that's worked for you.
Well, for me, bleach tabs. You can get them at any Walmart or any participating grocers. And they're like an aspirin. They're like a giant aspirin, but it's made of all Clorox. And I put them in the back of my toilet bowl, and when I clean my bathroom, every flush, it is deodorizing, it is antibacterial, it's killing everything in its path just with the flush, and it keeps my bowl having no ring around it. That is definitely one of my favorites. You know, I like the bathroom to refresh, and if you are a person that is not sighted, you just don't want to get caught with a ring around the bowl. And this is Life Tutor, and that's my life hack.
Okay, now let me ask you this, because I got to open up my Walmart order because it got here today. And I met that box on several occasions. So we're going to go on a date, and I'm going to open up the box and discard the box. But doing get ready for the show, I met that box several times. does this just work for... the tablets, or can I pour some bleach water in the bowl? But won't that all be gone with one flush? How would that work?
Yeah, if you put the Clorox just in the back of the bowl with one flush, that Clorox is gone. But when you use the bleach tab, it slowly dissolves over time. One bleach tab can last you at least a month. So for every flush, you're having a nice clean scrubbing by bleach. And as we know, bleach kills everything, including the coronavirus and the Delta virus and the Omicron virus. I mean, it doesn't kill it in your body, but it kills it off items, you know, such as your toilet.
Mm-hmm.
So it's really useful. It's really useful.
Mm-hmm. And I'm okay. Thank you. Thank you, Life Tutor. And I'll tell you another. I'll tell you another thing that works. Now, I don't know if you guys know this, Ken. I think I told you I bought a steamer. If I didn't tell you, I bought a steamer. And one night, man, I stayed up. I steamed everything. If it could be steamed, I steamed it. I did my stove. My stove looks brand new. My stove looks showroom clean. I did my stove. I did my floors. I did my carpet. I did upholstery. I was a steaming fool. And I steamed the drains. You never know what steam can do. Steam is amazing. And what I did, I put a little bit of Dawn dishwashing liquid in the drain and the bathrooms. I put Dawn in the drain, and I steamed the kitchen drain. I steamed the bathroom, the tub, the sink. And when I tell you, when I stuck my hand in that sink, that little garbage disposal thing that would be so ever so greasy was damn near, it was new. It was new. The steam made it new. It was no residue. It was no grease, nothing. So from time to time, steam your drains. It gets rid of that odor. It gets rid of that food. You know, it sterilizes it. And that's the beauty about steam. Steam sterilizes. So that's another hack for you. And also, when I sweep my kitchen floor, I go from both ends of the kitchen, from the entrance, I sweep, and I gather all the debris, all the trash in front of an island in the middle of the kitchen, and that's where I sweep up everything. That way, I know I got everything up. And then, after I do that, I run the sweeper across the floor, and anything I may have left is picked up. Also, if you ever break a glass, I recommend you do the same. When you think you got all the glass up and you sweat, put house shoes on, and you sweep that floor, put everything in the center of that island, and then after you're done sweeping, go over that floor thoroughly, and you'll be surprised at the little glass particles that's being picked up by that sweeper. This is Six Stars and Audio and My Flair.
Well, let me weigh in, Six, a little bit here. When she was talking about those tabs that you put in the back of the tank for the toilet, okay, usually any of those kind of things that you put in the back of the tank, those are good. Granted, they do a great job. Unfortunately, there is one downside that people don't know about them. And coming from handyman standpoint, I need to let you all know that downside. They're very rough on the rubber stopper called the flapper that's in the back there. It makes them wear that, makes that flapper wear out quicker, and then you're always having to replace that more frequently. So just to let you know from that standpoint, even though they do a good job of what she's talking about, granted, and I'm not against what she's saying. She's right. But the downside is it's very bad on the rubber components for that flapper valve. So, I mean, it's
okay.
A good thing to have for us blind guys and gals, but the downside is you're going to be replacing that flapper valve more often.
Mm-hmm. All right. Got a trivia question for you. How many blind people can you name? Including myself, including Life Tutor, including Wolfgang, side of us, how many celebrities can you name that's blind?
Not too many.
All right, Life Tutor, how many can you name?
I can name several. Can you hear me?
Sure, we can hear you now.
Yep.
Okay, let's see how far I can go with this. Okay. Stevie Wonder.
Ding.
Ray Charles.
Ding.
Roy Orbison.
Ding.
Clarence Charles.
Ding.
Helen Keller. Mr. Wynn of Wynn Casinos in Las Vegas. Yeah, he has RP. He's fine. Who else?
Ronnie Millsap.
I like this thing. Hey, there we go.
Ding.
Tom Sullivan. He's the one that was blind, and he was on Highway to Heaven. Fanny J.
Right.
Crosby.
Ding.
Bill Cosby.
Ding. Patsy Cline.
Ding.
Donald Fagen.
Ding.
Six Eyes.
Ding.
Light Tudor.
Ding.
Ken Wolfgang.
Tom Smith.
Ding.
Keith.
Ding.
Who else? Short Tree.
Ding.
Bats in general.
Ding.
Yeah, so that's a pretty good good thing. And one thing about it, if you are newly blind or introduced to sight loss, there's several resources that you can do. I mean, anything we can do outside of driving a car, we can do that the sighted do. Only thing we can't do is drive a car. But the good thing about that, some people are meant to drive, some people are meant to be driven. We are meant to be driven. And we won't get a speeding ticket. So that's one good thing about it. But the BARD website, it's free to sign up. And you can have all your audiobooks available on your devices, your Chromebook, your iPad, your Android, your Apple device. You can have your books downloaded right onto your phone. For telling me about the BARD program, because he the one told me about it. I was sitting up here with my big bulky player, which was cool, because one memory I got, my father and I listened to Higher Ground, and if you haven't checked that book out, it's a book that talks about Stevie Wonder, talks about Ray Charles, talks about Aretha Franklin, and Curtis Mayfield, talks about how they got started, you know, how Motown got started. Talked about how Aretha Franklin and Luther Vandross sat in the studio. They're about to record an album, and they ordered buckets of chicken, and they threw the chicken bones all over the studio. Yeah, it's a good book. It's definitely a good book. It's called On Higher Ground. So definitely check that book out. Yeah, yeah.
Check that book out. It merges two of my very favorite things, reading and music. So I'll definitely check that out. I appreciate it.
Yeah. Yes, you can check that out. Also, Netflix have what's called descriptive audio, describes what's going on. Definitely Law and Order. If you're Law and Order fans like myself and my mom and my dad, we all watch Law and Order. And I can remember, my father is the one that introduced me to Netflix. I did not know what a Netflix was. And he said, son, Netflix. I'm like, what's Netflix? What's Netflix? I said, I got DVDs. He said, yeah, you got DVDs. He said, but these are the same things, but they're on the computer. I'm like, what do you mean? He said, the same DVD you got right here, you got on the computer. Now, this is my father. I'm supposed to be teaching him, and he's teaching me. Now, I set up. First thing I started watching was Law and Order. And I stayed up trying to watch Law and Order. I said, Dad, I said, I started watching Law and Order. I said, I fell asleep. I said, so I'm going to have to start all over again. The biggest chuckle, he said, son, he said, you can go away and come back, and it remembers where you left off at. I didn't know what he was talking about. But, so I want to thank Papa Six Eyes for introducing me to Netflix, because I was just ordering the DVDs from Netflix. I didn't know, you know, that Netflix was on the computer. Because Sanford and Son, I ordered the whole season of Sanford and Son. I ordered Different Strokes and The Cosby Show. Sure did. And that's what I was watching. So he told me about that. So you can use that. There's also something called Audio Vault that you can download, and it tells the movies to you. Also, there's a app called Pluto TV. So for all you people who like the old shows, such as myself, you can download that, and you'll have your old shows. So that's just some good tips for you. And hey, that's me. I'm landing the plane. Somebody else take over.
Speaking of movies, have either of you ever seen the movie Love Leads the Way?
Lovely Sweat. It sounds lovely, but no.
It's a Walt Disney picture.
Oh, no. No. Never seen that. What's it about?
Okay, what's it about? It's about the first seeing eye dog, Buddy, her training, and
okay.
Morris Frank, the first seeing eye dog handler, and how they came together and how they fought for the rights of dogs to be allowed into public places.
Okay.
Of course, now that movie now is out, no longer in print. It's outdated.
Okay. Okay.
But if you look around, maybe your local library, they may have a copy of it on VHS, but I'm not sure, okay? And if you got a VHS player,
mm-hmm.
you might be able to get it and play it. Another video that also shows dog guides being trained mm-hmm. from the seeing eye, and it gives an accurate depiction of what dog guide training is like from the puppyhood all the way up through till the person gets the dog as a handler and their training is a movie that you can get on DVD right now. It's a Walt Disney picture. It's in three parts on the DVD. Called Atta, A-T-T-A, Atta Girl Kelly.
Mm-hmm.
Anybody see that besides me?
No.
That's on here.
No. No, you're never heard of that movie. Real quick, can you guys look at the phone line and see if you got any new callers?
Okay. No. Let's see. I'll get Ruthie to take a quick.
Yep, Bert. Once again, hope you are enjoying the show. We're here 7 days a week, the 6 Eyes Radio Network.
We have a caller, 901.
901,
hi.
Press the 1. Hello.
Yeah, they did.
Who's this?
Hello.
Hello. Who's calling?
This is Angel.
Angel, how you doing? All right. How you doing?
Mm-hmm.
Okay. Well, first of all, we want to send condolences on the loss of your father. Our thoughts and prayers are with you at this difficult time. So why don't you tell us about this great man, your father, for the listeners? So some good memories?
You know, my father, he owned like a oil company and stuff, whatever. So he's like a old school guy, and you know, like
okay.
You know, like people, like he's like the type of person to help people and stuff. So he was with some of the companies from the casino. He was like a correctional officer and stuff. And he lived a good life. No, God.
Okay, what's your father's name?
Andrea Bratchett.
Okay, okay.
Yeah. So, kind of different me talk to him, but he just, you know, he got 5 kids, so 2 twins and a girl, like 2 girls and a boy. And
okay.
He's was like a like learned how to make his own like his cotton and stuff. Like he could teach me my sisters and my brother and what he used to do and stuff whatever. So you know my father just passed away, so we're gonna make the arrangements like probably next week for his dinner and stuff.
So
he's like a the rap songs like he like Al Green, the song Love and Happiness and I'm a Push Him In and Bones of Harmony.
Okay, so he like Johnny Guitar Watson, Push Him Man. Okay.
Yeah, he likes stuff like that.
Okay. Well, what we're gonna do is we're going to start off with Love and Happiness. And then after that, you guys put yourselves on mute so we can enjoy the music. So we're going to play Love and Happiness. We're going to play Crossroads. And then we're going to play Johnny Guitar Watson. I think it's called Boogeyman. Boogeyman, that's what it's called, Boogeyman.
Mm-hmm.
And we'll be right back. Want to send condolences again out to the Lark family on the passing of her father, and his name once again for our listeners.
Andrea Bratchett. Mr. Bratchett.
Okay.
You can go on, Bratchett.
Okay, you got to speak up a little bit louder. Cause
Andrea Bratchett.
Okay. So going out to you, sir. We'll be right back. We're going to have some love and happiness. And this is for you. Rest in peace. Gone but never forgot. Just a moment.
Something that can make you do wrong, make you do right. Yeah. Love. Someone's on the phone, 3 o'clock in the morning, and talking about how she can make it right, yeah. Happiness is when you really feel good about somebody. There's nothing wrong being in love with someone, yeah. Oh, baby, love and happiness. Love and happiness. Love and happiness. Oh.
Lord. Lord. Oh. Yes, yes, yes. Makes you do right. And trouble makes you do wrong. And makes you come home early. Oh. Stay out all night long. Oh, oh. Let me tell you.
Is he a Barry White fan too?
Mm-hmm.
Okay.
I'm waiting on you. Believe me. I am patiently waiting. Yeah. That's something wrong. Every time I'm along with you, keep talking about you loving me. Hey, baby, your foreplay just blows my mind. So why don't we stop all the talking, girl? Why don't we stop wasting time? I've had my share of love, but bam, bam, girl. And if you think you can turn me out, maybe I wish that you would, cause you keep telling me this and telling me that. You say once I'm with you, I'll never go back. You say there's a lesson that you wanna teach. Well, here I am, baby, practicing what you preach.
Yeah. want you, lady. Baby, baby, baby. We'll waste no time. Precious God, all this talk about what you want to do and how you're going to do it to me. Come on. Practice what you preach.
Now I've had my share of love, but I'm still bad. But if you think you can turn me out, tell me.
Another one of your father's favorite songs. Any more more thoughts? Yes, 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 no.
Yeah.
Our condolences to your entire family from the Six Eyes Radio Network. Our thoughts and prayers go out to you at this difficult time. Praying for strength and comfort.
That was nice.
Thank you. So you got any more memories you want to share?
I kind of got emotional maybe and crying and stuff. But,
okay.
No, it's good. Everything is good.
Okay. Hopefully you can tell the difference between my show and the other show. I hope you can tell the difference.
Yeah, I like your show better because your music's not like real loud or nothing like that.
Oh, thank you. I mean, I'm doing something right. That's what's
up.
Yeah, but we're definitely here for you. And, you know, we're here.
I appreciate it. It means a lot.
Not a problem.
So what the weather is like up there where you at?
Well, the weather up here, well, let's see. Let's get a live report on the weather. Let's see. How is the weather here in Cleveland, home of the Rock and Roll Hall of Fame and Six Eyes Music Studio Productions? Alexa, how's the weather?
Mm-hmm. 50 degrees Fahrenheit with cloudy skies. Throughout the night, you can expect more of the same, with a low of 39 degrees.
Alexa, thank you.
My pleasure. Just doing the job.
All right. Doing a great job. All right. And that's our weather.
All right.
Six, you should have sung that. She asked, how's the weather? You should have said, the weather outside is frightful, but the fire is so delightful. And if you got no place to go, let it snow, let it snow, let it snow.
No, we don't want no snow.
And we're gonna play another song after this. And stick around, Angel, because I want to get your take on this and everybody else on the line. This song that I'm going to play next call on a controversy. So, want to see what you think.
Okay.
And happy holidays from the Six Eyes Radio Network.
Thank you.
But if you really hold me tight, all the way home I'll be warm. Slowly dying, and my dear, we're still goodbye. But as long as you love me so, let it snow, let it snow, let it snow. I want your take on it, because this station, this song caused a lot of stations to ban this song, but we're not doing it here at the Six Eyes Radio Network. So listen to this song, and you tell me what you think.
Okay.
Your lips look delicious.
My brother will be there at the do.
Wait.
My main love, my indecision.
Or you lift up
this. Well,
such a pleasure before.
I've got to get home.
If you freeze out there.
Say, lend me your coat.
Lend your knees out there.
You've really been great.
When you touch my
hand,
how can you do that to me?
There's bound to be trouble tomorrow.
Think of my lifelong sorrow.
At least there will be plenty and far.
If you caught pneumonia and
I really can't stay.
Instead of that whole world, how about it? Oh,
yeah. All right. They all knew Six Eyes Radio. All right. All right. We're back. All right. So that song right there caused a lot of controversy. Now, I'll start with the women first. Ruthie, Life, and Angel. Angel, Life, and Ruthie. Ruthie, can you all hear me?
Yes.
Okay. All right, where's the other two parties?
We'll get you to Ruth here in a sec.
Okay. All right. Come on, Ruth.
You waiting on somebody?
I'm waiting on Ruth.
Yeah, it's because my other phone wasn't working. Yes, I do love the song.
Okay. So the three women that's on the line, what did you think about that song? Did you think that song, was he forceful with her? What do you think about that song?
Was he forceful with her?
I think it was nice.
I'm talking
about
the three women. Okay, what was that?
No.
Okay, anybody else?
No, I don't think it was forceful at all.
Okay. What about you, Life? Life, are you there? Okay, so that song caused a lot of controversy. The radio stations banned the song because they said the guy was forceful with her. So that's why they stopped playing the song. So I wanted to get the take of the women on the line to see what they thought.
Well, I'm going to throw my take in on it myself, okay? Technically, he was forceful in the song, and she kept repeating over and over that she had to get home, she had to get home, she had to go home, she had to go home, and it was like he wasn't listening. But I don't see why they would have banned that song, because there wasn't nothing bad about the song. It was just basically a song of somebody who was a man being forceful and a woman telling her, the guy, that she had to go home, and he is just being hard-headed and not listening. But I don't see why they would have banned the song, because there wasn't nothing bad about it.
Okay. Now, I'm going to say he was persistent on one day, but he's telling her it's okay. So here's the thing. As long as he didn't do anything for take advantage of her, it's cold outside. It's cold outside. She has no way to get home. He doesn't want her to walk. Obviously, he doesn't have a car. There's no taxis running. I'm sure they have a phone, so she can phone and say, hey, I'm here till morning, but I'm safe. Okay? So I think the persistence came, you know, he's telling her, hey, it's dark outside. He doesn't want her to leave in fear something might happen. It's no taxis running. You don't know how far away she lives from where she's at, and it's cold outside. So from that standpoint, I don't think he did anything wrong. That's just my take on it. And if there's anybody else on the line that want to chime in, please do so.
Yeah.
Well, like I said, he was being forceful, but yet it did not sound like the man was being overpowering. It just sounded like he wouldn't take no for an answer, and he obviously had a reason.
Yeah, so it's like an old classy song
mm-hmm. song back in the day. That's what it is like. Yeah. Move. Old mm-hmm. classic song back in the day. That was like nice. But it was like old, but it's like a ribbon and blue. Because to be honest, I was hearing her, I thought she kind of sounded like Betty White a little bit. You know, Betty Boo,
mm-hmm.
you know, my name is Betty
yeah.
Boo. You know, she kind of sounded like her a little bit.
Mm-hmm. Yeah. Okay.
Six, the artist on that song?
Oh, my God. Kidding? That, I'm not even going to attempt to, I'm not sure right now. It escapes me. The name of the artist escapes me. I'll have that for you tomorrow.
Yeah.
All right. Anything else? Anybody want to hear? Any requests?
One more song by Marvin Gaye. Diana Ross. I'm Missing You for my dad.
Okay. Coming up.
Anybody else making requests? How y'all doing?
No. This is about your father. This is about your father. We got time to play music at another time. Rest in peace. Thanks for everybody listening to the show. This will be the last song, and then we'll be out of here. I want to thank you all. God bless and happy holidays. And continue comfort to the Lark family.
Since you've been away, I've been down and lonely. Since you've been away, I've been thinking of you. Trying to understand the reason you left me. What were you going through? I'm missing you. Tell me why the I'm missing you. Tell me why the love
turns. She was talking to her. She did it.
As I look around, these things that remind me. Just to see a smile made my heart feel the joy. I still recall all those dreams
again. I wonder who she was barking at.
Boy, ooh, I'm missing you. Tell me
she was barking.
Why.
Huh. Nicole.
I'm missing you. Tell me why the love turns. Sometimes I've wondered, I didn't understand just where you were trying to go. Only you knew the plan. And I tried to be there, but you wouldn't let me in. But now you're gone.
All right. Good night from the Six Eyes Radio Network. We'll catch you tomorrow at 9 p.m. Eastern for the Talk of Missionary Ken Wolfgang. Good night. God bless.
Good night.
Good night.
Good night, everyone.
Good night, everybody.